meet up and experience the magnificence that is the Two Ring Circus Podcast. You'll gasp. You'll laugh. And you'll be amazed at what comes next.
Amazing.
Don't worry about the smell. It's just the stars of our show, Tom Italiano.
Hi.
And Matt Bradshaw.
G'day.
Hello, mate.
Hey, Matt Bradshaw.
What's the guff, dude?
Dot com.
What do you got? Dot com.
Yeah.
Is that me?
Yeah, I think so.
Is that my thing?
Yeah. Well, do you have your own website?
I do. Well, and that's what it is.
Yeah, there you go. You're mattbradshaw.com.
I am.
Yes.
Are you well?
I am. Hey,
yes.
But you look at me, don't you?
What do you mean?
You get to see me.
Yes.
You gaze upon my visage.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
With my eyes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Your ocular orify. See this thing on me?
Yes.
Is that new-ish? Did I used to have it?
I don't know. I usually sit on this side of you, so I don't usually see your right side.
No, that's a lie.
It's not true.
No, you're right. It's not true. It's not true.
Oh, a crown, yeah. I sit on the other side. But it's dark there. Yeah. And I look out anyway. I don't know. Give us a look.
You sit on this side of me at bloody Anglers as well, and it's broad daylight.
Yeah, but I don't look at you.
So you don't look at me?
No. I mean, looking at
you
now.
So my premise was incorrect. Yeah. You look at me, don't you?
Well, I see you, but I don't look at you.
Okay.
Oh, it's very hard. It's hard. Should we start again?
I know. I think it's new. I think I remember it first presenting itself maybe a couple of years ago. Just... And I thought it was a bruise, and I just never paid very much attention to it. But yesterday, I think it was itchy, and I scratched, and it hurt when I scratched it. I think I have to go and see someone. I feel like a Jewish hypochondriac. I feel like Woody Allen. Is he Jewish?
Well...
Are you about to say Jewish?
I was.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
And I did it again today, which made me aware of it. But like, if I have a day off, like I did yesterday, I don't look at myself much. Like I don't. That's it. That's the full story. I don't look at myself much. Sometimes, I've been known to go to work without having done my hair because I've forgotten to look at myself before I've left the house.
You did last. You came to my house last week. Like I said, no, because I said I like your hair,
you.
And you said. He said, what do you mean? I said, you've done it. I said, you know, you look all Danny Zuko. Last week you came to my house, all Don Travolta.
It's true, you know.
Yep. So you don't look at yourself much, and you've noticed that you have a skin blemish.
Yeah.
It's the exact reason why I don't look at myself much.
What? In case of skin blemishes?
No, because of skin blemishes.
What? You're beautiful.
Well, thank you.
Look at your face. Your beautiful face.
Beautiful
face. See, I look at you.
Yeah.
I feel like I'd recognise if you had something go wrong with you.
Yeah, I think perhaps I probably, because I love you, I probably don't see issues, which some would say would be a good thing, but others would say, well, you know, you don't really notice. It's like I have an image of you that I'm seeing. I remember... being offended by my ex-partner who...
Me too.
When I would... when she'd say, how do I look? And I would say, bloody amazing. And then she would respond, oh, you'd say that if I was wearing a Hessian sack. I was like, well, I would, but it doesn't mean that you don't look amazing now. It was like my opinion was wanted, except for the fact when I expressed it, it was no longer valid.
Oh,
yeah.
What? Oh, dude.
It was weird. How do I look? Amazing. Yeah, well, that's not... doesn't align with how I think I look, so your opinion is not valid anymore. We've all had that situation.
I haven't.
Well, no. I met with her. Anyway... How's your week? What's going on? What's going on?
Oh,
what's
really? No, I was going to do the other thing first.
What's that? That's why God. Oh, have you seen a movie? That's why God made the movie.
No, actually, I shook my head when you said, have you seen a movie? But no, I have seen a movie. I've seen Top Secret.
Oh, yes.
I can't believe you haven't.
I don't believe
That's one
I
of
have.
Those.
I don't believe I have.
That's one of those where I tell people I haven't seen...
Top Secret.
Titanic.
Yes.
And The Blues Brothers. And, you know, Princess Bride, Labyrinth. Like, they're all these movies that everyone says, what? Yeah, but you haven't seen Top Secret.
No.
It's funny. That was all based on the premise that that pint in the foreground of the shot looks enormous.
Yeah.
It's the German guy who picks up the phone that's right in the foreground, picks it up, and then it is enormous.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
That's good.
It's not as big and disappointing, this beer.
Well, it wouldn't be a pint if it was that. If it was big. It would be bigger than a pint.
Yeah. Which would be great.
Yeah.
I'd be happy with a beer that's bigger than a pint.
How big?
Big as they come. Yeah, that'd be all right. Can I get a Corona bucket? Mean four? No, I mean a Corona bucket.
Yeah.
Full of hop hog. Thanks very much. Is that going to be annoying, that noise?
Oh, I'll get used to it.
I stopped it. Yeah. It's okay, don't panic. Yeah, so Top Secret, you should see it. Okay. We should get together one night and see it. One night, when you decide to have a couple of drinks, we better do it when you're interstate, because apparently that's the only time.
Yeah, I only drink when I'm interstate. Yeah. It's a good rule, particularly given how often I'm travelling at the moment.
Yes, dear. Right.
No, I didn't have anything on the weekend.
When's this going to air? Thursday?
Thursday.
Oh, we'll be in Perth next week.
We will, but not Thursday.
No.
Yeah.
No.
We are yet. When you see this, we may have or have not gone to Perth yet, depending on when someone sees it. I love that we assume that people are going to watch or listen to it within minutes of it being available to them.
That's right.
Yeah.
So they should.
Well, true.
You've seen a movie.
I have.
Mm.
Yes. Avengers.
Mm.
Yes.
Mm.
Excellent.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that it? Is
no.
that your review?
Oh, it's phenomenal, particularly if you've seen all the other ones. But, I mean, it's just... Well, here's my review.
Okay.
It's short, and my
movie is
no. The movie's not. The review is short.
Okay.
People who make DC films, please go and watch this.
What's a DC film?
Well, DC is the opposing comic franchise.
So who's that?
That's Batman, Superman, Green Lantern.
Batman films have been good.
Green Lantern? Yes. Not the last few.
Last few.
Yeah.
Last few.
Yeah.
After Heath Ledger?
Yeah, not the last few when it's been like a new universe. So the three Christian Bale ones were great. And then
the new universe?
Well, when Superman's come back.
Oh, is Batman versus Superman the first one of a new universe?
No, not the first one at all. Yeah. Can't believe you haven't seen it, man.
Help me. You told me not to bother, and I believed you.
Don't bother. Yeah. Don't bother until the guys who
DC films go and see a Marvel film.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Well, I guess here's the thing, though.
Come on, then.
If you're going to call your company that makes comics Marvel, right, you've got to make something that's marvelous. Call it DC. Yeah. I mean, you set yourself up.
Is that how it works?
You gotta find meaning in something. I decided that was it.
Okay, fair enough.
Yep.
We live in a world now where everyone kind of films everything. Thankfully, no one filmed me on Saturday night when I fell off a speaker wedge and hurt myself.
Oh.
Yeah. I fell off a fallback wedge.
That's a shame. Where did you do that? Where did you fall? At what place?
At Groove at Crown.
Oh, that'd be the perfect place to fall off a speaker wedge and have it filmed. We've got infinite money for you to see them with.
Well, that's probably my own fault for standing up on the
wedges. Well, you're stuffed now because you've admitted that on camera.
Oh, well, you can edit that out.
They'll know.
So, so I was standing up being a rock star, and I don't mean just standing up being a rock star. Standing
up these days. It's amazing.
Apparently, that's all you need. Some girls in the front row, because people love to touch you when you're on stage.
Mm. Bobo was stood far enough back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Started to untie my shoe, because that's a funny thing to do to someone. I mean, I understand the shoe is at eye level with them. So I started to untie my shoe. I moved my foot so as to unfacilitate their ability to untie my shoe.
Did you unfacilitate your ability to stand up?
Yeah. I hurt. Look, I got a little graze here, but I got a big bruise here. I haven't had a bruise like that for ages.
How'd you do that?
Because I fucking fell down, dude.
You felt like all the way
forward to on the side.
like a child fall. Because we don't do it when we're adults. Kids fall over all the time.
Adults don't fall
we
over.
We don't fall over because we don't climb on shit like kids do.
No. Yeah. So I was at my gig, actually downstairs here at the Duda Gala on Sunday. And because, you know, things happen to me in my life.
Yeah.
And I talk about them on stage. It's funny. And particularly if you're telling a story against yourself. Like, I think it's funny to tell someone that I was on stage and I fell over.
Yeah.
Intensely embarrassing at the time. And I wanted to blame everyone for it except myself.
It was their fault, by the way. It was because the world was rotating and it got you off balance.
But, so I think I might have told the story twice. I think at my gig on Saturday, I said it's actually a little bit unfortunate because I'm getting to the age now where if I fall, I can start to refer to it as one of my falls. And then on Sunday,
you don't have to have a hip replacement.
I simply referred to it as one of my falls, and someone in the audience who's older than me said, "No, it wasn't one of your falls. You fell over." It's all right, don't. Okay, all right then. Okay. So I fell over on Saturday night.
Yeah, wow.
And I bruised myself.
That's why I often wear quite unrevealing clothing, because I'm so bruised.
Because you fall over?
Yeah. I fall over all the time, and what? No one's there to see it.
What do you mean?
Yeah, I just walk into shit. I'm that kind of person that walks around, like, through a doorway and around a corner, but for some reason my perception of where the wall is completely miscued, and I just walk into the corner all the time.
Really?
Even in spaces like my own house where I'm pretty aware of where the stuff is, and I just turn into ah. Yeah.
What?
All the time. I got a dog, I fall over my dog all the time. The other times I've like picked myself up off the floor.
That's his fault though.
Well, he does want to be everywhere I am, so he gets under my feet. But I'd still
and
fall
that,
over.
He's not an immovable object that is always there, like a wall. He's a dog.
He's always there.
He's places that he wasn't the last time you looked.
That's true.
Yeah.
If I had stairs, I'd be dead. Because of my dog.
Yeah. Cats are smaller than your dog.
Yes.
Full stop.
Some cats.
I'm frankly amazed in the 14 and a half years that my cat's been on the planet that she hasn't been killed by just walking. Not her, me.
Yeah.
Because they do get in the way. But she hasn't done it that many times. But the time she does it, I'm really angry at her for doing it. And I do shout at her.
Do you?
And say, you will get killed doing that sort of behaviour.
Right.
Yeah.
The only time I...
So mind your business.
The only time I shout at my dog is just after he's had a drink.
What?
He's got that wet beard and he comes in and he's like, oh, I've just had a drink. I'm like, I know you've had a drink, mate. I can see. There's like a trail of water all through the house. And now I have a wet knee. And he's like, no. And he's like, what? What?
He's like, what? What? God bless him.
Yeah, if he was a menace. Criminal, like, he'd never get away with anything.
Well, it would dry.
What do you mean?
It would evaporate.
What would?
The trail of water that he leaves behind him.
Yeah, but he'd still be
he'd never
him.
Find his way home. He couldn't be Hansel and Gretel. Cool story, Hansel.
That's good.
So I don't know, was that story about me having one of my falls, was that the thing you told me to say before the podcast? Wasn't, was it?
No, I'm pretty much the same. Almost everything you go to tell me these days, I say, save it for the podcast, Bradshaw.
I can't even remember when you said it. Was it Sunday? Was it Sunday night when we got together and did a gig at the Fifth Province?
I can't remember.
I remember you laughing a lot.
Yeah.
And then saying, save it for the podcast. Well, I've forgotten it. What do you mean, oh, well?
Well, you know, what I mean is there's just this constant flow of hilarious things that come out of your mouth. So
well, I mean,
you've already provided us with some of them. So whether or not that was the thing, it doesn't matter because we got something good anyway.
I don't remember hurting this part of myself. But yesterday, I don't know what I did. I scratched my arm. I was like, ow, I wonder what that is. But I didn't bother to look.
Yeah.
Because it would have been, oh, so much effort.
Do you know, if that bruise was in the inside of your mouth, you'd be just doing this all the time now.
Just poking it.
Yeah.
Do you, yeah. Okay. So,
there is a way of getting that bruise in the inside of your mouth. But this whole time. What? You have to put it in there.
What do you have to do?
Because that bruise could never be on the inside of your mouth, because that bruise is on your arm. But so my point is, the only way to do that is to put your arm in your mouth.
To get that bruise?
Yeah.
Other than having one of my falls, is that what you mean?
Yeah. Because that
Are
bruise...
Are you suggesting I give myself a hickey?
No, not suggesting, but if you wanted to get it in the inside of your mouth, it'd be the only way to do it is to...
Oh, yeah. To get the bruise on the inside of your... Ah.
Oh, yeah.
That's good. Yeah, it's a podcast. Sorry, I've made it quite visual by pointing to a bruise and pointing to a spot on my face.
I've made it confusing. And
what's been going on with you other than going to see Avengers?
I went to Patterson in the Hunter Valley. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I went and sang.
How did you go to Newcastle?
Well, I had to fly into Newcastle and then drive to Patterson.
Did you hire an N car?
Yes.
Did you?
Yeah, it had a huge TV inside it.
What?
But it was shit, because the only thing that was on the TV was the directions to Patterson. Huh. Why put a display that's seriously the size of an iPad?
What did you drive?
In the middle of a car, a Toyota Yaris.
Whoa, why have a display that's as big as an iPad in a car that's as small as an iPad?
Well, it was huge, this display, and all I could watch on it was the directions to where I was going, which was stupid because I knew where I was going.
It's horrible life, isn't it?
It's just a waste of good technology. Particularly when I could have been watching anything.
Hmm.
I mean, I should have been watching the road.
Yes.
It's a bit like it when you... This is what these chapters are about, really, is you need to talk to be able to think. And so I had the idea that maybe I should have been able to watch anything I want, but now I've been talking about it, I've come to the conclusion that it's probably better that I couldn't watch anything I want while I was driving.
I'm excited to get to that part of the chapter.
Yeah.
Nice segue.
Thanks.
Glad you went on a segue.
We've been taking ages.
Oh, man. Have you ever ridden one?
No.
Either. Cold.
Yeah, I don't trust them.
Segways?
Yeah.
Really? Because you'd... Never know where you're going to get to next.
I kind of feel like you're just going to go that way any moment.
It's called a segue, not a tangent.
Oh, sorry. Or a chung.
A chung.
Yeah.
A bit racist.
What do you mean? It's my sister's surname. She is Julie Guglia.
Hey?
Chelina Chung.
Chelina Chung.
Yeah.
Far out.
Yeah. That's great. We call her Julie Guglia. It's Chung, not Chung, but yeah. You can mispronounce it and get to that point if you wish.
Yeah.
So anyway, I did.
How was it in Patterson?
It was lovely.
What was it?
Other than it being lovely, it was Felicia's 50th birthday party, and that came about from when I did my possible campaign, which I have to bring up again. I will in a second. One of the rewards was to have a house to buy, I guess, a purchase a house concert. And so she messaged me saying, would you come to Patterson? And I said, sure.
Said generally.
And I try not to let that derail me.
Go on.
And I said, sure. And she said, would you be able to come on April 28th next year? And I said, but I can't see why not. And so, yeah, she booked one. And so I went and did that. And I sang for, you know, the people at the party. It was really lovely. And the dog sat there for like 2 hours while I sang. It was even lovelier. But then, because it was in the country, they had a log fire. And so then we sat around a campfire, right, and did that campfire talk where everyone looks at the fire, directly at the fire, but just talks to each other.
Yeah.
It was amazing, because I hadn't done it for years. And I kept saying to them, this is what we used to do when I was younger. Like, you know, we'd have a party. I didn't, almost anywhere where I've lived, we've had like a campfire or a brazier or something in the backyard, and we just sit around, even on weeknights, and just talk to the fire, to each other.
Frankston, there's a guy with a brazier on the corner of my street. fingerless gloves. A long coat with moth holes.
Oh, right. Not secure. Gotcha. And then the other great thing that happened, which reminded me of being young and carefree, was...
Oh,
that,
good times.
Yeah. Was that I didn't, no one had control of the music, really. So someone, the music was playing up at the house over the, you know, the PA thing. And so it was just like whatever music came on, came on. And so that was what I remember about being younger, is going to someone's party and then not my music was on. And so that's where I would hear stuff that I wouldn't choose to listen to. Mm. So I heard like 10 Ed Sheeran songs in a row. Like I would, which, which, you know, not to be disparaging at all, but in my normal everyday life, if one came on, I'd just kind of be like, oh, yeah, yeah, whatever. And I would switch it off. I would put something else on. But there was like 10 in a row.
This recording you've got of peak hour traffic somewhere.
But, and I enjoyed it because it was like kind of environment that really lends it to, you know, you're in someone else's space. And so you kind of just, you know, understand the fact that it's their space. And then... And I explained that, and everyone was like, yeah, yeah, that's the cool thing about party, because it was the people that were there. And it was lovely. And then, of course, one of the guys there said, hey, have you ever heard pirate metal? I went, no, but is it like heavy metal where the lyrics are like about being a pirate? He's like, yep, up he runs sort of thing, puts pirate metal on. You ever heard Viking metal? I'm like, oh, is it the same as pirate metal but with Viking lyrics? Yep. It was great. It was really lovely. And so,
is that why you brought it up on Sunday?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, funny.
And so it was really... Huh. So it wasn't just, you know, like a lovely time, and but it was... It brought back some really nice memories of those kind of things that just tend not to happen anymore, particularly when your job is you play music on the weekends when people are usually sitting around a fire at their
We haven't had a gathering at my place for ages.
No. I reckon do you know when I reckon the last one was at your place?
Mm.
When Harmony just started year 7 and she was complaining to me about French. I was like, French is fascinating. Like a third of our language comes from French. And I started listing all these, like, you know, English words that have
Schweppes.
French derivation. Croissant. And she was like, I still don't think that's cool. She didn't think it was amazing at all. I was like, no, it's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So well, that's anyway, nice, man. Yeah, it was lovely.
Isn't that funny though? Just for a moment, while you're listening to this, while you're listening to us speak, just think about remember a time, because everyone's done it. Remember a time when you were at one of those gatherings. I'm kind of doing it now, except I'm staring up and in the corner.
That's where we remember stuff, over there.
Well, I'm looking straight ahead though.
Yeah, but I'm following your gaze. So for me, it's up over there, but for you, it's there.
So I couldn't understand how you're spelling that word. So I, yes, cast your minds back to a time when that was what you did, where you exactly as you explained it, you have the conversation with someone who's sitting over there, but you're staring into the crackling embers, flames, little thing shoot off into the... Yeah.
One part of the conversation that was really interesting is these guys live on, I think it's 10 acres, and the owner of the property said he's got this issue because he needs a thing to earn some money because it's a, you know, a little farmlet and it's, you know, tax purposes and stuff like that, but they're vegetarian and they don't want to have animals, but they kind of need to have animals, so they're trying to work out what they were going to do. And that led us, you know, quite an interesting conversation about, you know, the food industry and whatnot. And then I said, and this is the first dinner table conversation, like between humans. Like once upon a time, people just walked around picking leaves and berries off stuff. Like, and then they were like, could control fire. But the thing about controlling fire is that once you've got one, it's effectively got to be in a spot. So then you bring the food to the fire and start cooking, and that's dinner table. And then you're like, where do you get this rabbit from, Bill? I was like, oh, it's over there, right? You know, and that's the first... And then the conversations obviously go from there about, well, we should probably go over there and get some of that stuff. It's like, oh yeah, but that's their stuff. It's like, wow, well, you know, we can invade them. And like, then, you know, political conversations around the fire take place.
You're a good thinker.
Isn't that funny though?
You got a good brain. I mean, bits of it are weird.
Bits of it are weird.
Mostly you got a very good brain.
Best thing about the conversation is this little 10-year-old dude sitting over there, and he's, because we were talking about, you know, just life and whatnot, and he says, oh, you know, back in the day. And I was like, hang on, we can't let this slide. How cool it is that you say back in the day. He's like, little dude, insightful kid, like really bright kid, and was totally into the, in the zone of what was happening about, you know. It was really, really cool.
Loved it. A friend of mine the other day told me that he and his child were sitting having lunch somewhere, and someone came over to speak with them. Oh, it was his. So the kid is now 5, and this was his preschool teacher.
Yes.
The preschool teacher came over, and so from 2 years ago, had a chat, and kid was kind of, you know, had maybe 6, had a crush on this preschool teacher when he was little, like kids often do. Yeah,
not the dad, right?
You know, gazing up with rapt attention and sort of hanging on every word, and she finally left, and the kid looked at his dad and said, I have absolutely no idea who that was.
What a legend.
Brilliant.
That's gold.
Anyway, chapter 8.
Yeah, of Jordan B. Bear's book.
What'd you call him?
Jordan B. Bear. That's me.
He'd love that.
That's me.
He would love that.
What would be a good word? It would be a good word of both merging people's names and anthropomorphizing.
Oh, God.
Anthropomerging? Oh, maybe let's not. We should. No, it'll come to us, you know, when we're not on doing a podcast.
Mm. I hate that.
Yeah, I know.
I remember. Can I tell my story?
Yeah,
do. Can it. I tell my story with the podcast story?
Yeah.
I got heckled.
Oh, cool. That's
remember?
Right. Yeah.
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 I got properly.
It's good. See, now I remember. Now I'm lying.
I got properly heckled at a gig, which I've been doing this for a fair while. I really can't remember many times when I've been like properly heckled. And I shouldn't editorialise too much. I was doing a gig on Friday night at Platform 28 in the Docklands, my first gig there. Fun gig. Over on the other side of the room, a dude and a bunch of his mates yells out, play it, was in Cuba. I said, I've already done it, mate. He said, play it again. I said, there's other songs in the world. And he said, there's other hairstyles in the world too. I was like, I had nothing because I was insulted.
Oh.
But in the sense of, I was trying to think what my hair looked like.
Because you don't look at yourself very much.
Well, I don't look at myself very much. But it was really funny to me that in that moment, I was thinking, holy fuck, do I present myself to the world? It's a bit like when I'm blonde and no one tells me that they don't like it blonde. It's just that when I go back to my natural colour, they're like, I love you as a brunette. Like, so, and their inference is very definitely, we didn't like it for the last 12 months. So this whole thing of, there's other hairstyles too, it's like, holy fuck, maybe everyone thinks I look like a fucking dick when I walk out the door every day, but no one's going to say anything until I finally come up with a new hairstyle. So this was all while I should have been saying, well, so why did you choose that one then?
All right, so let's brainstorm. What kind of hairstyle do you need to have for a while before everyone says that they really like this one? I mean, you have to have some other hairstyle for them to go, oh, I really like this short, you know, spiky do. It's good. I mean, what are you going to have to do?
Spiky do? Is he Scooby-Doo's other son?
No, it was his nephew, Scrappy.
Yeah.
Scrappy
was his nephew. Yeah. No, not son.
It's Uncle Scoob.
Yeah, you're right, because that would have implied some sort of sexual congress, and they don't do that in cartoons.
Still does.
Yeah, but it's distant, it's removed. It's sexual. It's removed sexual congress, which I think you and I have both experienced recently. Do you have sex in Newcastle?
No.
Oh, do you have sex in Patterson? come to think of it. Maybe you might have. Well, I just ask about Newcastle first in case later, you pick up the car.
Have a quick one
on the side. And
just
then,
a quick Hertz.
Yeah. That's what she said. is that where you did it? At the Hertz counter? That's become a euphemism for me now.
Behind the Hertz counter.
Is that up the bum? Oh. Behind the Hertz counter.
My lord.
Well, if the Hertz counter is front sex, behind the Hertz counter is back sex, surely. Rule number 8.
Tell the truth. Or at least don't lie.
Okay. Where'd you do it?
What's in the Hertz funny counter? About this is that
only one of us is laughing.
Very rarely do Matt and I have this kind of conversation where he goes off in this kind of laughing tangent like this, right? But when he does, this is exactly what happens. He just goes, it's funny. It's funny.
As a new listener wrote to both of us the other day, if I'd known you were going to talk about sex, I would have joined in earlier. Not joined in with the sex, joined in with the listening to the podcast. She's going to love this
one. She doesn't work at a car hire company, does she?
I think she's got a job interview tomorrow. Depending on when she listens to this. Mm. Oh, tomorrow. Mm. It's always tomorrow. If you're listening to this today, and you are, because it is today.
That's all relative. So this
one... thinking of Scooby-Doo.
Oh, that's true. Uncle Scoob. Yikes. Yikes. So this one is... We touched on this in our last episode.
Oh my God, we're only going to do one today, aren't we? It's 6 o'clock.
No, we'll breeze through this. It's all right.
What? No, we won't.
Yeah.
No, you struggled.
Yeah. Now,
and then you and I talked off camera about it afterwards, and I realised actually then that this was going to be a one chapter as well. Because
well,
you
maybe I've moved
expounded
on
a whole bunch of stuff.
But... one thing I will say about that, I'll probably say more than one thing about it, because let's face it, this is what this podcast does. I find that most of, even like talking right now, I actually have trouble with a lot of stuff that most people would think, everyday life, people just go through stuff. But I find everyday life to be quite a challenge. But I don't find that to be a problem in the sense of, I think it's perfectly reasonable for everyday things to be challenging, and I think that's probably what makes life worthwhile, is that, the idea that anything that's worthwhile is worth grafting towards, So when I was reading through this and then listening to it and reading it again, obviously the idea that, tell the truth and don't, or at least don't lie, brought up stuff even for me back then, but even as a child, like the idea of just, telling a kid about Santa Claus, and then I remember being a kid and just going, grappling with the difference between chicken licking as a story, like getting read a story and then being told about Santa Claus. So, I can tell the difference between a story as a kid, right, and that Santa Claus thing that I'm being told is not you telling me a story. Mm. Like, that's a lie. Like, and I knew that as a young kid, and I really struggled with it. And I could also... So, just even, listening to this, reading this stuff, listening to this stuff now, I was like, oh, geez, I've struggled with this all my life. And the idea of having an imagination... And then kind of like, how much of my imagination is me trying to process the world or come up with a solution to a problem, right? Or escape this, or is it an avoidance technique? And that's why looking through this is like, wow, this is really troublesome for me, because I've always had an issue with everyday life being difficult. So like the idea of coming up with an alternate perception of something and like being creative like makes sense. It was like, but how much of it is functional and how much is it avoidance and, as a word that he likes to say, malevolent, like. So now I expressed that to you last week, and you, as you often do when I say something like, oh, I have trouble with this, like you go, oh, buddy. And like, and so I wanted to sort of just say to you, like as I did just at the start of this part of the conversation, that I think it's perfectly okay to have a huge amount of trouble with certain thing, with anything, because you've just, it just means that you've got to work for it. And often when you work towards something, it becomes valuable to you. So even that, if I'm trying to get to the idea that telling the truth, and at least not lying, is hard and worth it. And I feel like that's my conclusion from going through this and having a lot of trouble processing it. The end. Chapter 9?
No. This is one chapter of dealio.
Okay.
Yeah. It has to be.
Oh, really?
Yes, of course it does.
All right.
Well, because your initial reaction when we spoke at the after we finished recording last week was, well, actually, during the recording, where you said you really struggled with this.
Mm. Yep.
I mean, that was you last week, really struggling with reading this thing. And yes, I guess you, I don't know, it sounds like you've processed your point of view a bit during the week. Not your point of view, but your way of expressing it to me and us.
Yeah.
In that space of a week. But the idea, I know you weren't saying that my reaction to what you were saying was wrong, but the idea that my reaction of, dude, really? Struggled with, doesn't feel wrong. And
because it wasn't wrong.
I thought about that a lot after we finished up that day. And yeah, you're right. The things, well, pick up the biggest load and all that sort of stuff. Like they're the challenges that are most rewarding once you come through the other side of them. Can you go back to what you said to me again off camera last week about how this chapter of Don't Lie, or Tell the Truth, or At Least Don't Lie, how it relates to your craft as a songwriter?
Well, I'll try. Well, I see that when he talks about the order and chaos thing and having, you know, straddling both sides of that, of the yin and yang of order and chaos, and I see like someone who's compelled to be creative, and you're trying to work out what is it about me that's compelled to be creative. And I think for me, most of that is to try to solve some problem I think I have. And that's not just, I mean, not in a sense of it, and I look at that not just in like my idea of trying to write a lyric or a piece of music or something like that, but it's the same thing, like, you know, oh, I want to do this thing, and so then I end up with, you know, hammers and nails, and like, you know, I end up building stuff at home to see if I can solve the problem of, yeah, I don't know, like, you know, having birds leak through into my recording, bird sounds, so like, oh, I'm going to make this, you know, vocal booth and stuff like that. So I guess the idea of how can I do this, how can I solve this problem, and how can I make something of it, whether it's with language or physically make something of it.
I guess the only problem with that is that now you don't have bird sounds, but there is the sound of you catching yourself on nails.
I like it. Do you know what I did do? I did make a vocal booth, but I made it so I could stand in it. So if you were to come to my house and try to record vocals, you'd have to squat because you're taller than me. It's hilarious. I made a dom-sized vocal booth. I solved my problem.
So selfish.
And created a problem for other people.
Well, which I think, as far as I'm concerned, that's a win-win.
So
see if the same person gets in contact and says, I can't believe you said that about self-help books. Are you serious? No, I wasn't serious. Really, you think it's a win-win that Dom fixes his problem but creates... No, I don't mean that.
That, but that's exactly what problem solving does.
What?
Well, just leads to you moving to your next problem.
Well, yeah.
That, I mean, that's how problems
are. It's a natural
works.
Progression.
Yeah. But it also, like, is the unintended consequences of, like, of
no,
having good
problems, and you ain't one.
Of having good intentions. Oh, it's great. This vocal booth is awesome. No one else can use it unless they're shorter than me.
Is there anyone shorter than you?
Exactly. Yeah. I'm going to open a Hobbit studio.
Dom it.
Yeah.
Dom it.
Yeah.
That's all right. We'll come back to that.
Bad Hobbit. So, what are we talking about?
Songwriting.
Yeah, songwriting. Yeah, yeah. Is this where I mentioned to you that I didn't know whether to be offended or
no? Okay. That was a separate conversation.
Still not quite sure what you meant by that.
You should. You've said it now.
Ah.
Yeah.
Well, Matt said to me.
You said it now. You can't do that.
We were having a conversation once about. Not that long ago.
No, 3 days ago.
About lyric writing. And I was saying that it takes me a really long time. I find lyric writing really taxing. It takes me a really long time and many drafts. And even, like, I get stuck on a word. It's just, I don't know whether it's that I can't find another word to replace the one that I've got, but there's not enough syllables in that word, or there's too many, and so it's clumsy to me, and I just spend a really long time. And you go, really? I thought you just kind of, you know, you just, it was like one kind of, you just wrote your lyrics and it was done. Like, I thought it was like that. And I was like, I'm not sure whether that means that Matt thinks I'm a genius and I write these great lyrics, what he thinks are great lyrics, straight away, or whether it's what I actually think what he means is like, really? Just sounds like you spit out the first thing that comes to you. And that'll do. That'll do, pig.
Yeah. No, I have such tremendous respect for you as a lyricist, and as a person, as a an interesting thinker, that it seems weird to me that it would take you a huge amount of effort to come up with those concepts and those ways of expressing those concepts, because it seems to me that it would flow so easily. Also, I don't do any redrafts of my songs.
Right. So, well, I guess that's
twofold. Of course, I haven't written a song for 4 years. Yeah. So
that is a conversation you often have with songwriters, is when you do talk about each other's process and you go, really, you do that? Because obviously your process is what, you know, that's normal and natural for you. And then when you hear about someone else, it's like, wow, that seems weird.
I did go home after the subsequent conversation and think, holy fuck, I guess all my shit's actually shit. Maybe I should do a bit more work.
All your shit's shit.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
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 Well, I guess it is. You know, if it's shit, it's shit. No, that's chapter 10. What was this, chapter 10? Using precise language?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, when you lie, you miss out on understanding your potential.
Yeah.
Point of that being that when you lie to someone else, you're still lying to yourself. And my take on that, we all know people who have had terrible experiences. We've had terrible experiences. But we also know those people who have had terrible experiences that continue to tell those stories of that bad experience regularly. And it becomes part of their kind of intrinsic narrative. And it becomes, and then to other, I think as well, not just to the person telling the story, but to other people, it becomes part of the fundamental understanding you have of that person. But it also does to the person telling the story. If you continually tell a bad experience about some part of your life, it just, and that as well is related to the next chapter.
Yes. Yeah.
Of how fallible our memories are. When you lie, you absolutely, fundamentally, miss out on, well, you miss out on the truth. You miss out on giving the truth to other people. You miss out on having a true experience with another person and also with yourself. Which is why it was really interesting to me about the songwriting thing for you. Hmm. The order and chaos thing, is that how we can tie that back to songwriting?
Oh, well, I don't know. I mean,
in the sense of growth comes when you are firmly entrenched in the order side of things, but with another foot dangling over into the chaos part, and that in that break point is where you kind of develop new ideas, develop new concepts, and develop as a person. Does that work in a songwriting analogy?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure because there's evidence to me that there's a shit ton of songwriting which that doesn't happen with.
Well, I meant you.
Oh, right, cool.
Stop talking about Ed Sheeran.
No, I wasn't in particular there. I think for me, something that I try to do is I see a song as an arc of experience in, you know, not two by two, hurrah, hurrah, but like as the character that's singing the song, there seems to be something that people do when they listen to a song is they assume that the voice that is singing the song is the person.
Absolutely.
Is the person who is singing it.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's the great, effectively, that's the great, not conspiracy, but the great illusion of entertainment as well. It's like, you know, obviously, Heath Ledger isn't the psychopathic Joker, but the thing is, he was. You know, that's how we see stuff. But there's something about music where people go, oh, Dom, that's really, if I write a certain lyric, they assume that I'm this small, hurt, devastated person.
Whoa.
No, what I mean, who is in that song? Whereas reality is, a human is enormous in experience, and you distill it. If you distill one concept, an idea into a 4-minute song, which all songs are a very, very small slide of someone's experience, yeah, or idea. But my approach to it is, what I hope to do is that the character that is expressing something in a song, and I say the character because I feel like it might be precisely something you've been through, but it's not all of you. So it's a small part of you, but you want that person to have had some kind of growth or understanding or kind of revelation.
Sure.
Within the song.
Yep.
And so, that's my issue with when I said, oh, I don't think a lot of songs do that, because I just kind of, you know, I listen to a song like I just don't hear that this person's had any, like, learnt anything.
Sure.
Or this character's learnt anything.
Yep.
And that's often to do with, like, what am I listening for? Because I might be missing the point. And I would argue that most of the time in my life I do miss the point, which is why. Because maybe the point is for that songwriter not to have had an arc of experience. It's just like, well, I'm just writing a song, or I'm just doing this, or this is specifically about this. Like, I
does that make it a bad song?
I don't think it makes it a bad song, but I think it just means that, well,
I didn't mean it sounded like you were saying it did. I'm actually interested. Well, like how you can quantify whether a song is good or bad.
Well, I don't know, because, for example, there's plenty of pieces of music that I've heard that I really like that, the entire combination of it.
Yep.
Or even the fact that I like the artist, so I'm forgiving of the fact that it's as superfluous in its content or its exploration or whatever. So, but I tend to feel that the more powerful the voice, the more, you know, extraordinary the physical attribute, whoever's singing it or playing it or whatever, the less the lyric matters.
Okay.
In that, because I think that expression of emotion or expression of a musical emotion. Obviously, someone who's got a greater palette to draw from, musical palette to draw from as a singer, like, then they can express stuff that someone with a small voice can't. So I think, like, the, you know, the Rod Stewarts, John Farnhams, Jimmy Barneses of the world can do these things that most other singers can't do. So you can marvel at what they can physically do, and therefore the lyric perhaps doesn't need to have the same gravitas.
Sure.
Whereas I think the Paul Simons of the world, like, or even the Dom Italianos of the world, right, have the palette that they have to draw from has to come from the composition of the music and the composition of the lyric, because guys, there's less colours in the voice as far as, you know, the dynamic range and the raspiness. And I that's how I feel about it.
Yeah.
And also I feel like the music that I've connected to, mostly it's either phenomenal and impressive in it, the fact that, well, almost anyone can't make that voice, like, can't make that sound or whatever, or anyone can sing like that, but that idea is, like, there's a lot of life that's going into finding that emotional experience arc, you know?
Do you find it hard to sing old songs of yours because of what you've learned as a songwriter in the last decade?
You almost don't sing old songs of mine.
Because?
I don't know them. What's interesting is, like,
I don't know them.
Like,
you physically don't remember
songs,
them?
Yeah, I've got songs like from my first two CDs that someone asked me to play, but, like, I don't know how they go.
Sure.
Like, I don't know the lyrics and I don't even know the chord progressions. I'd actually have to learn them.
Yeah.
Because I wrote songs and I recorded them and then.
But would you?
I don't know. I'm not, you know. I haven't felt compelled to.
Why not?
Because I guess that thing of I'm here where I am now.
Yeah, right.
I don't feel like the other thing is too. Like, I'm not someone who's got, you know, who's done original music consistently. Therefore, is not that many people with a constant demand for my back catalogue. You know, your old stuff's better than your new stuff. More people in my life now are familiar with me from my newer stuff than my old stuff.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. But if I hear things if I ever hear my old songs, like, whoa, like that's a young person going through some stuff and doesn't. The depth of experience that I probably had at that point in time, I can see the kid. You know, I can see the kid who, like, processing something like that, because I haven't. How do you say? Because I've had from here to here, like, I've had this amount of trouble in my life, and then 15 years later, I'm like, oh well, my trouble's expanded, all right? So now I have that pool. Not just my trouble, my good experiences too.
And working through the trouble.
Yeah. I don't know. Interesting. Yeah, but no one really asks for much of my stuff.
Yeah. Interesting.
Okay.
All right.
What about you?
What about me? What?
Hey.
What about me? Hey.
So I just want to say that we're working through this book, and you know, one of the things is, like, you know, clean up your room. That was you know, before you. So I mentioned before, I'm not trying to get away from the subject at hand, although I have. So my possible campaign, right? So I've set myself a task to finish all the things, and I will have done that very soon. But the other thing
is that
we're about to see something. Is that?
Oh, get out. Really?
How many years ago did you give me that?
Oh, so many years ago.
Yeah.
Matt made me a guitar lead with two angle ends.
Yeah.
Thanks,
and it works
man.
Too. I tested it.
Oh, that's good.
You probably don't need that anymore.
Yeah,
but,
I do.
Oh, okay,
it's orange.
Good. Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah, so it's been in my house for things for me to clean up.
Did I only ask you to make me one?
Well, you only gave me two ends.
Did I? So, what a dick. Yeah. I should have given you more if I'd known they were going to come out this good.
Do you want me to make another one? How many years do you want to wait?
I'm prepared to wait. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Look at you tying up your loose ends.
There we go. Yeah. They were loose.
It's good.
Yeah.
So, okay.
I think I was lying to myself for 3 years about that.
Well,
I guess, like, you know, at least don't lie, but it was this thing. It was like, oh, I'll do that. I better make that thing. Like, and I don't know why I never made it. Took me 25 minutes. It's about 6 inches shorter than, you know, it should be, because I had to start over and over again. But, yeah.
Fuck.
But that's the interesting thing about this.
Sorry,
about,
it's only an inch a year.
This. Pardon?
Hmm?
It's only an inch a year. Off either end.
Thanks, man. That's exciting.
You can use it tonight.
I'm going to.
At your rehearsal.
Oh, rehearsal.
Yeah. Better than a rehashal.
That's exactly what we're doing.
Oh, really? yes.
Hmm. Okay.
Thanks.
Good talk.
Thanks.
Yeah. How do you feel?
Great.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm pleased.
Yeah. I love this podcasting thing.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. It's fascinating.
Hmm. It is, and you watch The Man in the High Castle.
Oh my God, it's dumbfoundingly good. Oh, it's so good. Yeah.
Mm.
I still got most of season two to go.
Okay.
Yeah.
TV show called The Man in the High Castle. I recommended Dom on Facebook a little while ago, and he...
It's interesting how that all aligned in the last 2 weeks, where you mentioned Auschwitz, the Netflix doco, and I watched that, and that led to me watching World War II in HD colour, where they recoloured all this grainy old black and white footage, but in documentary format, which was brilliant.
Yes, World War II in colour. Highly recommend.
And then... Obviously, Man in the High Castle is a hypothetical scenario of what if the Allies didn't win.
Yeah.
And just gripping. Slow, but gripping. Which is why I like slow. I like stuff which, you know...
Yeah, that's the thing that these TV studios, these new TV studios, have been able to do.
Yeah.
They've been able to develop... characters and develop storylines over a long period of time to make them compelling to people who are willing to put the hours in.
What I mean by slow is there's not a lot of action. So it's I mean, still into season two, it's season two, from the start of season one to season two is like, it's 2 weeks. It's not a lot of time's gone by. And so and it's getting, you know, increasingly complex, but just that, you know, they're willing to spend 30 seconds with the camera on someone's face while something's
exactly
happening.
Right.
And letting you go, oh, right, yeah, this person's processing this. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
Really,
it's really strong performances in there too.
Yeah. What's his name? John Smith. Rufus Sewell. The main Nazi guy.
Yeah, right. That's him, is it? Yeah, he's good.
It's unbelievable. He's just the amount of times where the camera's on his face for 15 seconds, and you see the realization, and then the sadness or the fury or something. Just like rare that they do that in TV.
Exactly, so, right. But it's becoming increasing with Netflix and HBO and these sorts of series being made. I nearly said commissioned, but yeah, made. It's I'm glad you enjoyed it, though.
Mm, yeah, I'm loving it.
Mm. Amazon.
Never been.
Me either. But I hear you can get it delivered, so that's good.
That's good.
Yeah. for as long as it's there. Oh, so political. Fuck, I need to go to rehearsal.
All right. Thanks, Matt. Thanks for that therapy session. These things often turn that into that for me.
Do they?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, tune in for chapter 9.
I will.
Very much about therapy.
I'll be here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks, newcomers. You know who you are.
Oh, you can tell me who that is. Cool.
Okay.
Farewell, cheers, sweet maidens.
From the what? From the first floor of the Duda Gala, we will see you next time. Bye.
I'm Peter Sane.
Pet.
Good show.